Ah, wasn't that song so good? Well, good morning again. And I'm just so excited to be here with you guys this morning. I was actually asked to preach last minute, which is so okay. And I would love, Pastor Jeff is sick this morning, not due to COVID, but he is sick. He was sick earlier this week and he just asked me if I could preach. And it was really cool because I've had this passage on my heart all week up to that point. And so I'm so glad I get to share this passage with y'all. But can I just pray for your time right now? So join me in praying for our service and just this time with God. God, we know that you are good, that you're never going to leave us nor forsake us, that we are seen, that we are loved, that we are heard. So we pray, Lord Jesus, that truth would be blessed through us this morning, that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you're going to say. Lord God, I just pray that you bless me as I'm speaking this morning, and I just pray that you would divinely speak through me and that you would be heard. That this would not be on my own strength, and if anything that is not of you would be fall by the wayside. But I just pray blessings would come out of this. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want you to think of a time that you were lost. What is that significant time that comes to your brain? Take a moment, think of the time that you have ever been lost. I'll give you a second. Okay, I hope it's at your mind. So particular time for me that I've been lost, that anytime anyone ever talks about being lost, this thought always comes to my mind and I go right back to this moment. So I was 5 years old and I was in the grocery store with my mother. And it's your classic story of being lost in the grocery store. So I remember I was sitting in the canned soup aisle. Right? All I saw was Campbell's. And I was mesmerized by the cans all lined up. And I'm just looking. And my mom says, hey, go grab this. I'm going to go, blah, blah, blah. I did not hear. I was mesmerized as a five-year-old. So I'm like, okay, I have a job. I'm going to go do that. And it was just a little bit farther. And then I turn around to go bring it back to my mother. And she's gone. And I start to panic. And I'm like, I'm lost. I'm forgotten. What if she left the store without me? So I was like, all right, we got this. I start to panic a little, but I'm like, we got this. Like, let's just go looking down the aisles. Instead of just staying where I was, I decided to go on a journey of looking for my mother through the grocery aisles. And so I would walk down and I would look and I'm like, she's not there. Okay. And I keep going. And then at this point, I get pure and utter panic. Then I'm like, that's it. She checked out, she went home, she abandoned me. I'm living in a grocery store. I was five, I know I'm dramatic, but I'm panicking. And thank God I was really well known. This was like my staple grocery store that my family knew the owners and like we knew a lot of the people that worked there. So they knew who I was and they come over and they're like, are you lost? And I said, yeah. And they're like, okay, well, come with us. So they bring me to customer service. And then they paid my mother. And she comes out and she goes, there you are. And I was like, here I am. And it was a great moment. And every time I think of lost, I was lost, I think of that moment. Because I felt abandoned. I felt like I was never going to be lost. But again, if I would have just stayed right where I was and turned around, she was at the end of the aisle. I went on a whole journey, running farther and farther away from her, looking for stuff when she was right there. All I had to do was turn around. This morning, we're going to be in Luke. We're going to be in Luke 15. So it goes Matthew, Mark, Luke. And we're going to be in Luke 15, and we're going to be talking about the lost sheep. I absolutely love this passage. This is actually one of the first ever passage I heard as a Christian, as well as it's the first passage that I ever got to speak about with my youth group students when I was just a brand new youth leader in high school. So I'm so excited that I got to share this with you this morning because personally, there's so many good, memories and things that God has done with this verse. So join me. I'm going from Luke 15, verses 1 to 7. Join me in reading this. If you have your Bible app, and if you just need to hear it, close your eyes and enjoy it. Repeat every word I'm saying. Whatever you need this morning, go right ahead. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he is found? And when he is found, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." Just so I tell you that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. That's good. So just a little background and context of who Luke is writing this. So Luke is actually a physician. That's why his words are so wise, and he's a physician. He's highly knowledgeable, and he's also not known as a Jew. But it stands out to me that in the first verse, it says that now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. So let's break this down. There's a lot that goes on in just those three verses alone. So Jesus is with known sinners, okay? They labeled that. And what, like, they, the Hebrew word for sinner, it means to miss the mark. And then why it was so, a lot of times, tax collectors would be paired in with the sinners because of how they would rip people off. They were cheating the system, they were rude, and they just took money. They would work for the Roman, they worked for the Roman Empire as Jews, and they were taking more money than they should have. So Jesus is sitting with them. People just don't like them. Like, they were the outcast. They were not really wanted to be round. So Jesus is sitting, having a meal with them. Sitting. He received them. And then the Pharisees and the scribes were walking past, and they're like, "This man receives sinners and tax collectors, and he's eating a meal with them? Jesus, like, what are you doing? Come on." Like, and to just explain what a Pharisee and what a scribes are. So the Pharisees were people that they kind of seeked more approval from man than they ever did God. Their hearts were filled with wrong motives, and they just loved to just judge people. And then the scribes were people that literally went around writing out scripture. So they knew the word. They were saying, they're like, "Jesus, you're a rabbi. Like, what are you doing? We don't, like, we, what?" And it said that he received them. And the word "receive" stood out to me. Because when I think of receiving someone, like, you're like embracing them. That, like, and it says with the Hebrew word that it comes with, it says to us that when you receive the person, it's with confidence, it's with patience, it's you're embracing them in with you. So he's embracing these people, he's having lunch with them, or dinner, whatever, he's having a meal with them, but he's accepting them, he's allowing them, and he's allowing them to talk to him. Ask questions. And what I love is that Jesus sees everyone in the picture. He's not just focused in on one. The biggest thing that I really love is that Jesus didn't go and just say the slide remark to his haters, being like, "Stop being sassy." He didn't like go and tell them off. He was like, "Let me tell you a story. Lean in." So I'm asking you guys, lean in this morning. Hear the story, because it's good when he pulled in both sides. But also, Jesus can accept sinners and see them all. Then who misses that? Who do you correlate with this morning in this story? Are you more of a sinner? Are you more a Pharisee? But he sees them all. No, everyone, it can be in his sight. You're good enough for that. The parable of the lost sheep isn't meant just to teach us how we should care for others regardless how they look or act, but we are called to love and care for the lost. So I want to go back and just read the parable. Let's go back to verse 4, all the way to 7. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." For I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Ooh, that's good. So the reason that Jesus is talking about sheep, we see sheep talked about through the whole Bible, not just this one section. So it's a commonly known. And so it's, the scribes are people that were writing out scripture. They have seen stories before about sheep. And the Pharisees know about sheep and how much they're worth and how valuable they are, but as well do sinner. It's common knowledge. So Jesus is teaching to both sides here. He's not leaving anybody out. He's coming to common ground, teaching them the same important lesson that needs to be heard. So he's telling them this, and so if you didn't know, okay, a sheep is guided by a shepherd. And the whole, sheep need a leader. A shepherd knows its sheep, knows how to guide it, and they need it. So they understand the social context of that all. So the shepherd knows how valuable it is. It's important that the shepherd is leading his flock. And so if he loses one, like a sheep is very valuable because they have to bring it to be sheared and all that. So it's very valuable. So he's saying if one leaves a flock, that shepherd knows how important it is. Have you ever been like shopping at Target and you have all these things in your hand because you didn't want to buy the bag anymore? So you're like, I'm just going to like carry everything in my hand, and you're going like this. And then you're like, well, I have to go to the bathroom before I leave. So you go to the bathroom, you put your phone on top of the toilet paper holder, and then you walk out to the car having all your items, trying to open the door. And then you're like, where's my phone? You literally drop everything, all the 99 things in your hand that are important to you that you just bought. But you know how valuable your phone is. So you run, leave everything, and you run back into Target. You grab your phone, and you're like, my whole life is on this. I needed this, and it's so value. And if you don't compare it to that exact story, you at least know that there's something valuable. Maybe you have a child, and you've probably had many things going on, and you're like, wait, where's Billy? And you go and run after it and find him, right? That's like a shepherd. He knows how valuable he knows them. They have this bond. He would do anything for that sheep, so he's going to go after that one sheep that is not there because he loves him dearly. The shepherd and the sheep have such a close bond that, like, the sheep knows his voice. But also the shepherd knows his flock. He knows who can't be next to each other. He knows one of one starts to stray away and he goes, oh, they're going too far left, hold up, wait. Or they're going too far into this pasture that's not our pasture. And it's like, bring him back. Or if they're going too far this way to the right, and then it's like, bring him back. Like, he knows who can't be sitting next to. And again, if you have kids, I'm the youth pastor here. You know what kids you can't sit next to each other. I know this one can't sit next to this one because then they're gonna argue about this. And then you know that he knows his flock that well. He knows his flock. But also, it's the shepherd's job to guide them through the pastures, to make sure they do. Or not, they can end up getting injured or killed, or they can end up in a river or a thing floating away. And so he has a staff. Like, have you ever seen Bo Peep and like she has her staff? Yes, that's what the shepherd had. He has a staff and he makes sure and he corrals them. And you might need to tap them on the feet like, hey, nope, we're going this way. And he's guiding them because he has one job and it's to protect it. And if a prey is gonna come and hurt those sheep, he's gonna take his staff and get rid of the prey. His job is solely to protect it. He knows their worth. He knows the sheep's value and that they are so wanted and important to him. I love in verse 6 when it says, and when he comes home and he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my lost, I found my sheep that was lost. Have you ever lost a wallet or like anything? Like we just talked about the phone, but have you ever lost your wallet and then you had your whole family help you look for it? You had your community within you looking for it. And then you're like, where is it? Oh my gosh, and they're looking everywhere. And that type of rejoicing when you go, I found it. That type of rejoicing times 10,000 is what it's like when one person comes home, when that sheep comes home, when you are home. The celebration in heaven it talks about. Verse 7, it says, just so I tell you that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Celebration in heaven. That's how exciting it is when a sinner comes home. I love that verse because when we get lost, Jesus pulls us in to come home, but that there's celebration. There's not, oh, you went home, blah, blah, like anger. There's no anguish. There's no hate. There's love. There's like, you're home. Isn't that a great feeling when someone celebrates that you're home? So you see, we're the sheep. And Jesus is the shepherd. As much as a sheep needs a leader and a shepherd, we need one. The qualities that it takes a sheep is to be patient and wisdom, and that comes all from Jesus, and to be guided. But when you're in a dangerous situation, Jesus will go in and protect you. He knows your worth. You're wanted in his flock. You have value to him, and he loves you dearly. And he's going to celebrate when you come home. I went to Nyack College. And I had a person come up to me one time. They sat right next to me and we were sitting in the auditorium. And they kind of knew what was going on in my life. And they go, so are you tired of running? And I looked at them and I was like, huh? Like, I don't really go running. Like, that's not what I do. And he goes, no, not physically. He goes, are you tired of running? And when he said it that second time, it just hit me. And I just like looked down because, and he explained it to me. He goes, you're tired of running away from the things that Jesus has for you. Aren't you tired? And I was so scared to just stop running because I was scared what was going to happen when I actually came face to face with Jesus, my shepherd. Here's the thing, Jesus will always leave the 99 to go after the one. But he's gonna keep following even after as you're running. And he's just gonna wait. And he's gonna keep going and going. And no matter how far or how wide that journey is, he's going to keep coming and following you and wait until you're ready to come home. And so knowing this passage, I'm sitting there and I was like, and I looked at my friend, and I said, I'm scared. And he pointed every piece of scripture to me and he goes, wouldn't it be better to stop running and see what happens? Because you know how running goes. So that day I sat and I kind of just like sat with Jesus and I was like, all right, Lord, what? What do you have for me? And that was the most joy and peaceful moment I've ever had. Because I stopped running and I allowed the shepherd to carry me home. And there was the biggest celebration. What I loved most was my friend that was sitting next to me loved me. They didn't call me out. They didn't bash me for what I was doing. Don't know if they actually knew what I was doing, that I was turning away and running with. And we see how Jesus reacts to all the people in the group. He doesn't say to the sinners, stop sinning. Stop doing what you're doing. Listen to what I'm teaching. No. He sits and has a conversation. And he listens, and then he tells a story. And he shows them. And I think we have a call as Christ followers to just sit and listen. Even there's a lot of things that Jesus did not agree with them. That's not the way he wanted to do. He didn't be like, you're doing it wrong. He never did. And I think a lot of times as Christians, we can get so caught up in the strategy of how we want people to become Christ followers and do it like this. This is how it needs to look, all the things. We need to commit to the result. The result is bringing them to Jesus, letting them see Jesus daily through us. We need to be committed to that. God's gonna move extraordinarily. You can have a conversation, you can love and have a conversation with anyone and never say the word Jesus, but they can see it because the Holy Spirit's within you. But it has to have love, grace, and all the fruits of the Spirit. And that's what needs to be seen. And you need to sit in and just have patience. This week, I was challenged by my mentor. Shout out to my mentor, Allie. She is absolutely amazing. But this week, she challenged me. And I want to challenge you to do the same. This week, she challenged me to talk to people that I normally don't talk to, or people that look differently than me in different ways. So like someone that might have more money than me, whatever. And she said to me, people that slightly make you uncomfortable because they don't look like you. And she challenged me to go and have a conversation with them, to hear their heart, maybe even call them. And it could be someone in your family. It could be someone in your friend group. It could be someone that you know from church. It could be someone that you don't even know. Have a conversation each day. And she gave me a number of how many people I should try to do it with. But she said, go and talk to people that look differently, think differently, and just act differently than you. And have a conversation with them. And at the end, to just know that they are loved. You don't have to talk about Jesus. You don't need to. There doesn't have to be a specific agenda. Just hearing their heart and letting them know that they are seen, that they are wanted, and that they are heard, and that they're valued. Those four things in a conversation. So I challenge you to do the same this week. Have a conversation with somebody that looks differently, that thinks differently, that acts differently than you. And just love them and care about them. And it's okay to say, I agree to disagree. Don't start arguing with them if they say something you don't like. Just love them. Share a story with them. Hear their heart. And hearing someone's heart is not waiting for a place for you to object. It's hearing them. So that's my first call. My second call is that some of you might be called in this season to actually walk with somebody. There is a spiritual gift called being a shepherd. And we're all called, and maybe that's not your spiritual gifting, but we're all called to just walk with people in life and love them and pace with them. And it takes a lot of gentleness and wisdom to do that. But I'm challenging you, if God is highlighting someone in your heart, it might be once, it might be a meeting with them once a week, whatever that is. But if someone's highlighting someone to invest in them and like walk with them, I encourage you to just love them. And if that's that person, commit. They don't need to know that you're your person. You're like, the Lord has called me to do. Like, just love them. Talk with them. Encourage them. Have a meal with them if you're comfortable. FaceTime them. Whatever socially distance safe. But love them. And then lastly, some of you need to stop running. Some of you need to stop running away from the flock because you are wanted. Some of you just need to stop running and you're just scared at the end of the day what the end result's gonna be. But if it's Jesus, it's good. It's really good. So lean into those things today, church. I'm gonna pray for us and we're gonna go into some time of worship. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you come right now. I pray that we can lean in, Father, to what you have for us. Abba, I thank you so much that you love us as your child, that you would leave the 99 to go find us when we're lost, that we're the one you're going to go and look after. We're the one. So I pray this morning that you would just reveal what is the call from this morning. Maybe it's all three, and maybe it's just one, or maybe you have something specifically to say to us. But I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just pour into each and every person that listened to this morning, even if it's today, later today, tomorrow, whenever they hear this sermon, that you would just rain on them your love, your peace, your just your gentleness and wisdom. It would all pour out. And we just feel your love and your presence right now. In Jesus' name.